Hare Krishna. I'm supposed to speak about what is false. So, I'm going to tell you nothing real. Everything will be false when I'm telling you for a change. I'm supposed, normally we speak about the absolute truth, but today I'll just speak about the false ego. What can we say? Ego oftentimes has an ugly connotation. And as soon as you think ego, you think of selfish and all these kind of things, exploitation, name it, oppression, ego, egoism, egocentric. I'm the center of the universe. What shall we say? False ego is a very simple thing. It means that we think that the body is the self. That's what it is. In a Sanskrit dictionary, you can check out the word Atma, which is the word that is used for self. It's translated as self. And then if you check it out, then there are further meanings given. And the further meanings of the word are body, mind, or spirit. So, meaning that the self is either one of those things, or maybe all of those things. In other words, some people think the self is the body, some think the self is the mind, and some think the self is the soul. Here, in spirit matters, guess what?
What would be
the real thing? Yeah. I'll leave it for all of you to figure out the missing piece in the puzzle. But the piece, obviously, is that one piece that changes everything. It's where we understand the relationship we have with Krishna, with the Supreme Lord. Krishna is a name of the Supreme Lord. He has many names. We're not so hung up on a name. You can change the name if you want. You can take another name. Although, because he has unlimited names, because names are relating to qualities, after all, you know, like, I have a friend who is somewhat on the lightweight side, and sometimes we call him skin and bones. Then
it's the sort of thing,
you know, you would call someone like that who looks like he shouldn't live in Cape Town because he might blow away very soon. Featherweight. Yes, so my grandfather sat in a chair for many years, and when he did stand up, he could not see his own toes. That's how developed he was. And what shall I say about that, right? I guess some people would make a comment. He would daily walk to the barber shop around the corner for a shave. That was his walk. I'm sure the neighbors saw him going there and had a nickname for him. So names are relating to qualities, not just any name. And traditionally it was like that. Nowadays, of course, some people have ridiculous names. No, I say just meaningless names, you know, that sort of somebody read in a magazine and gave to their poor child to suffer the rest of their life from a name without a message. But in traditional cultures, names would carry a message. Right? Even our Western Christian names, they carry a message. Absolutely. So, names and qualities go hand in hand. Yes. So, here we are. When we look at Supreme Lord, he has so many names. So, the real ego, the point is that the ego exists in a conditioned state, and the ego exists in an eternal state. There is a school of thought coming from India where it is thought that the ego has to be given up, and one has to just merge with the cosmic consciousness. But that part is not so easy, merging with the cosmic consciousness and also not fully satisfying. Some philosophers make us believe that giving up one's identity is the greatest good. Well, what shall I say? Some people have a cat. And I have a hot water bottle. That's, I think, is much more practical. Yes. So, what to say? But when I start to think, see, the thing is this, is that we as individuals never exist independent. Yeah. Like, now I'll be the guy with the water bottle. Yeah. Everybody knows the guy with the water bottle, see. And, you know, he's like, Brihat is sometimes known as the fireman. Yeah. Because he has a lot of enthusiasm. Which is good quality. Anyway, so characteristics are there and we identify with them. Yeah. And we do it ourselves. According to the clothes we wear, we start to feel in a certain mood. Yeah. If you wear very expensive clothes and you drive a very expensive car and you live in a very expensive house and you have many servants that bow down to you and always sort of flatter you and laugh at everything you say, then after a while you may suffer from what Carl Jung used to refer to as a swollen ego. Jung used to speak of the swollen ego and he used to speak of the shrunken ego. So that's interesting, like a swollen foot. A swollen ego can happen. So, yes, an exaggerated concept of the self, which comes from identifying with external things. Suddenly, because I'm white, yeah, I just think I'm a little more elevated than those who are other colors. But soon that will change, right? The time will come when you don't speak Chinese, you don't count. That time is not far away. Things are changing. The chosen race is going to be Chinese. Actually, an iPad app called 7 Billion shows the face of the average man amongst the 7 billion on the planet, which we reached in 2011. We reached 7 billion people on the planet. And then they show his average face. And it is Chinese. Yeah. That's interesting. So what shall I say? Anyway, so any form of racial identification, positive or negative, is false ego. Becoming the exploiter or becoming the victim, both is false ego. We are neither exploiters, and so on. Our true identity is this, is we are eternal spirit soul, and we are eternal servant of God. No matter how you shake it, you can't get around it. Either directly or indirectly. Either you play with the toys of the material world. But where does that come from, anyway? Prabhupada met one manufacturer of glass, a big factory, glass factory in Mayapur. And Prabhupada asked the man, "So, what is your business?" He said, "Oh, I manufacture glass." And Prabhupada said, "Oh, so what are you making glass of? What is the material it is made of?" He said, "Oh, silicium." And Prabhupada said, "Where are you getting that?" The man said, "From sand." And Prabhupada said, "And where is that coming from?" Then, because Prabhupada was a religious man, the man said, "From God." Prabhupada said, Then you were a thief. So the man's a little shocked, you know. He's a wealthy man, and suddenly he gets called a thief. He said, look, you take property that belongs to someone else, you change it a little bit, and then you sell it in the market. What you call that? If I do it to your car. So we're looking at the divine origin of things, of matter. So no matter what we relate with, it's always the divine. But when the divine shows its face in terms of matter, then it shows its lower face, its lower manifestation, an always changing manifestation. So here in spirit matters, we can easily revolve that and say matter spirits, right? Meaning to say that actually matter is also spiritual. It's as spiritual as anything, because everything is its origin in Krishna. So we're always relating to Krishna. That's what Bhagavad Gita is saying, no matter what. And when we become aware of it, then we are that we are eternal, and that we have an eternal relationship with Krishna as an eternal servant. Because, you know, even little things, a big storm. On the flight over, there was a serious, I came a few days ago, there was a serious thunderstorm, very high in the sky, and we saw all the lightning, lots of lightning. Besides that, the plane was shaking, there was lots of lightning up there at the same time. We were in the middle of it. Sort of unusual, kind of like, usually it's not that high. Usually you're a bit above it. So yes, when the forces of nature begin to roll up their sleeves and show us a little bit of their power, then immediately we are overwhelmed and overpowered, and we feel insignificant. On the top of Table Mountain, we see all the little toy houses and dinky toys and tiny little ant-like people, and the world looks small. Like that. So, we're speaking about this relationship with Krishna, or we'll find another name, if you like, although Krishna is a nice name. Has a nice meaning, because it means the all-attractive, and nobody can be all-attractive alone. So therefore the name Krishna includes relationship, so it speaks about a relationship. That is what we're talking about. In that relationship, we are not the master. In that relationship, we are the servant. That's our position. We can't help ourselves. We have to serve. We have to always serve. And, you know, like either you have a business and your business is famous for the service. Our company's motto is service. You know, customer is king. And we serve our customers. Or at home, we're all serving the wife, serving the kids, or the other way around, serving the husband, kids serving the parents, serving. So service is our constitution. It's our constitutional nature. False ego comes when we are not acknowledging that. And then the result is that we are suffering. See, when we try to be master, then we're not so good at it, actually. That's the problem. We try to be master, but we are not. It's like, it gets out of hand. We try to make a world which is completely enjoyable, but it's not completely enjoyable. It doesn't stay like that. So this is the situation, that there's all along some imperfections. As long as we think that we are independent from the Divine, from the Supreme. At that state, false ego kicks in. And when we think we're independent, Yeah? When we think, I'm just a product of nature, when we think that, yeah, I'm just a certain genetic combination, when we think all these things, suffering kicks in. That's the situation. So, since he asked me to speak about false ego, it's a depressing thing, to be honest. So, today, if I really take this topic to the ultimate, I'm going to leave you all depressed. Because I'm speaking about when we live an unnatural state of life, and the result is suffering, either mental suffering, physical suffering. It can be like, how are you? Shall we go somewhere today? How about a movie? Okay, well, the sunshine, shall we go for a bicycle ride? You know, bicycle ride? I mean, you like bicycle ride? You know, I've got a cousin, he has a boat. A boat, you know what I mean? Boat. Cape, you know? Boat. Shall we go? Hungry. Hey, pizza, ice cream, party. Let's go. Ken, what's wrong with you? You know? I am bored. So sometimes we are not suffering from horrible circumstances. Sometimes we just suffer from being bored when nothing ever happens. It never happened. The dream never happened. That person never came around the corner. Looking for a long time. Looking for a long time. But nobody came. I guess it's blues. What else could it be? Anyway, so like that, we are. We get bored. So suffering comes like that in different ways. Sometimes in sheer agony. I read in a book, you know, that there is a herb that can cure any toothache. Yeah? And I was thinking about it when I was lying in the dentist's chair. He was chiseling and drilling and doing all kinds of things. And I was thinking, boy. If I only would know the name of the herb, you know. those are the moments, you know. Those are the moments. So sometimes it is agony, and other times it's just emptiness. But that's all the same. It means that we are not situated in our natural position. And that's the topic. We must be natural. But natural means not just that you do anything that comes in your head. Anthropologists say that human beings are suspended between nature and culture, and that we are a mix of nature and culture. And it's obvious that, like animals, they may, whatever comes in their head, they may act upon it. They may. But human beings, they have norms, values, and so on. And not only, it's complex. What is happiness? Immediate and long term. So these are complicated matters. The balance between, sometimes you have to sacrifice the immediate for the long term. And so on. Yeah. So we can see these things. Anyway. Personally, I think false ego is a misidentification with external things. and forgetting our eternal spiritual relationship. One who has that eternal spiritual relationship gets inner strength, right? Cannot become affected by external things, but somehow or other remains internally strong, regardless of what happens. And that's really what we're looking at. That's what we're interested in. And that's real ego, pure ego, purified ego. So life is about purifying our ego. Whether we do it consciously and make an effort to improve ourselves and bring out the better qualities, or whether we wait for the circumstances to do it. But, you know, I tell you one thing. I gotta tell you one thing that you might remember as the years go by. And I tell you, you know, that, you know, it all comes out in the wash. It all comes out in the wash. Yeah? Sooner or later. So with time, the imbalance in our personality will be tested and tried, and it comes out in the wash. So better to make the voluntary adjustment. And for that, ladies and gentlemen, we have bhakti yoga. It just perfectly washes any ego straight away. Spotless in no time, and just a few spins. And for that, you know, tonight, believe it or not, bhakti yoga is on a sale. We even have some samples for free. Take them home. There's absolutely no strings attached. It's wonderful. So bhakti yoga is really the answer to it all. And goodbye, false ego. That's settled that. And we move forward now to bhakti yoga. Because bhakti yoga is positive, affirmative action. It's not about conquering our own weaknesses, our bad qualities. It's simply about putting something positive in place, and then that will change everything automatically. And that's the main thing. And by the way, okay, we can do a little work on our character.
That means I'm also out, yeah? Oh, dear. Anyway, I'm glad my water bottle is old-fashioned.
Just put on the sun.
Yeah. Jeez.
I can't do anything without the microphone. Though, so.
But we can all hear you.
Yeah, no, that's good. Anyway, it's back. That's good as you could hear me. But I would like to hear from you now, my God. Now, green lights. I seen the light. I seen the light. It was white and green. So, is there anyone who would like to ask a question or have a comment? Since it was your topic, why don't you say something about it?
Can you say something? It's not easy. It's a sweet struggle, I guess.
It's a sweet struggle to say something.
No, but giving up false ego. Mm.
I don't worry about it. I never think about it, to be honest. Never. I haven't thought about it for the last 35 years until you brought it up today. I think, you know, I stopped worrying about the negative a long time ago. I just focus on the positive. You know, I just get involved in positive devotional activities, and then that false ego, I hope it's just gonna go away one day. One day it'll wake up and it will be gone.
But then, of course, because yours doesn't affect others' lives and your life badly, it seems like for those of us whose whole egos will affect others, I guess we have to be thoughtful with them and responsible for them.
Uh-huh. Okay. Good. He's taking his gloves off. Yeah, that's good, Oliver. Yeah, well, you know, no, I step on people's toes sometimes. And it's not that I am insensitive. I do try to adjust to other people, so it's true that you can't say, I can't say that I totally ignore the false ego, but still, also there, you know, just put positive values in place. It's about embracing positive values. Yeah? It's to treat others respectful, and then we have positive values. And then if these values are strong, then whenever something comes up, it sort of hits these values, yeah? Which are like filtering it. Yeah? So then if anything from my lower nature, from my false ego, comes to the surface, and because you have strong positive values, I think it gets checked in that way. Then I don't have to each time look at, like, do complete analysis of my mind, and is this real ego, is this false ego, is this the real me, or is this a mask, or is there another mask under the mask? Took off mask number one, saw a new face, was there another mask? And God, how many masks did I have? Already took off 37 masks, and maybe there are more. Yeah. So it's like, who is the true self? Very difficult to come to there. But the true self, it says in the Nectar of Devotion that one, as one comes to know one's relationship with Krishna more and more in service, the more one comes to know himself, just as by the rising of the sun, one can see himself. I still stick to my guns. Yes?
I just have a comment. When you said that we can choose any name for God, but that Krishna is a nice name because it means all attractive, I never really thought about his name like that when you said it implies a relationship, because nobody can be attractive in an empty space. There has to be someone to find them attractive for them to be attractive.
So yes.
It's like the Maha Mantra that also has the person saying it because it's an evocative. There's always a relationship.
Yes.
No matter. So that was a good.
Thanks. She's doing my work for me. Great. Yeah, that's good. That whole explanation. Yes?
What will she do when
you... Yes, a little louder. I'm deaf like anything.
What will I do?
What does she do when your dad leaves the house?
What do you do when your dad leaves the house? Yeah, then you must pray to Krishna. It's not a... When you're young, you want everything to be happy. And then sometimes it's not happy. But you can pray to Krishna. And we will try to help you. Huh? Yeah. If I can ever help you, you come to me. Huh? But my dad was always not also so nice, I must say. He didn't leave the house, but sometimes he would drink too much, and when he would drink too much, it was also not nice, what to do. But you pray to Krishna and you'll be strong. So you must pray to Krishna for strength. Then you can do it. Rotten world. Yeah.
When you do feel alone, not just when you're a kid, when you're older too, and your false ego does sort of peek through and starting to take over, do you have any suggestions for people and advice to share with other people to find an extended family like this?
Yeah, you know, that's why we're like, you can call anything false ego that's not love for Krishna, right? You know, any love in this material world, in a way you can say. But I don't know what to do with such kind of philosophical wranglings. I think we have natural affection, you know, for our parents and other dear ones and so on. And, when we get disappointed in these relationships, we feel very alone. Of course, we also realize that the real relationship is with Krishna. And the more you have a relationship with Krishna, the more these other things will not affect us so much. It doesn't matter whether we are children or adults, it's the same thing. A child's more honest about it, you know? Like, he's so honest about it that it's shocking. And we hide it. We hide it. But it's the same thing, it eats our heart out on the inside. Yeah.
So, you know, relationships in this world are very difficult, isn't it? So even if two people love each other and try to have a relationship, even then it's very difficult. And if they don't love each other, then it's even... Oh. But even that's difficult, you know? Someone's misunderstanding and unintentionally and all that. God, relationships. That's why I took sannyas. I couldn't do it. It's easier. It's easier now. Yeah. Don't know if I'm going to say that now. So the false ego part, you know, I think that the real thing is, let's try and be devotees of Krishna as good as we can. The human side will also be there. And part of that human side will not yet be completely pure. Anyway, keep on trucking. And that's what I did. That's why I say the last 35 years I haven't thought about this false ego, because you'll never get it, you know what I mean? It's just you won't get rid of it. It will have to go in time, in service, in a lifetime of service. Just concentrate on the service and forget the rest. Yeah, that's what I think. Somebody singing in the bathroom. Must be a hot shower. Yeah, it's .
even when we're so transcendental, you know, ourselves, we still have to take other people's feelings very serious, right? even if they are partially motivated by false ego. Doesn't matter, you know. I mean, just like a child, you know. It's like when you're adult, you may say, "Oh, you know." When you're adult, you see it different. Yeah? Although something like a father leaving home is not a small thing. That is real suffering. But what can be done? But when I was a kid, I lost my favorite toy car in the sand pit. Never got over it. It's a big thing. I dug up the whole sand pit, everything, sifted through the whole thing, never found my little golden Jaguar. It was called little Jaguar, can you believe? And it was so smooth, it was driving, God, was it good. And it was lost, so what a drama it was. Yeah? And yeah, now of course I look at it a little different. But my little golden Jaguar stands there like, to remind me that for me that was a very important thing. So what really counts is what is important to people. And I don't think we should go around and put labels on people and say false ego, false ego, false ego. I think we should take serious what is serious to them. Otherwise how will they take us serious? Yeah. I can be so transcendental that I don't take anybody serious. That doesn't make sense at all. Then I become cold and disinterested from people. So we should not, just like Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada was very transcendental, but yet he could be human with human beings. So he was able to come down to what moved people, although it didn't move him in the same way. But he could share that. And I think that's also important, you know. We're not looking at our own.
Yeah. Okay, I need a question.
To keep me going, yes.
Maharaj, I just want to close this. When we are forced in our lives, to have to deal with people that are very much touched or controlled by the false ego under the influence of the Izu energy. Bad association, but association that we can't simply give up, that we can't simply just shove away.
Yeah.
What is the best way to deal with such a person?
Yes. Well, it also depends on our own affliction by false ego. Because if you have, like, say a Prabhupada, right? He had this kind of saintliness that he would just tolerate it all. And like, went to live with all these hippies on the Lower East Side who were, like, some had not fully come down yet from whatever they swallowed. So, you know, what can be said? It was intense, obviously, intense crowd. Very turbulent and a lot of that. And but Prabhupada was tolerant and positive. So if you're very tolerant, patient and positive, I think we can deal with a lot. But you know, we are... Our false ego may be somewhat in the better modes of nature than someone else, and then we feel like, oh, you know, oh, I cannot tolerate this guy. Yeah? Too much. Still, our false ego is also there. And that's why I bring it in. But because we're not completely transcendental, we're looking for to get close to people that stimulate us positively. And and from others, we keep a little bit of a distance. We cannot absorb too much of it. So even if it happens in our environment, we try to keep, you know, a respectful distance, but still somewhat of a distance. Our capacity to absorb all that negative energy is not so great. It pulls us down. It's intense to absorb a lot of negative energy. It's like, sometimes people come to me and say, well, I have nothing to say to you because I don't have any problems. And I only have problems then. Yeah. Great, tell me something nice, tell me something good. You know? Mm-hmm. So.
March.
Yeah.
So therefore, the whole universal manifestation is a product of the false ego.
Uh-huh.
It's both divine and demonic, and I just...
Well, divine is a big word, but there is goodness and ignorance, and goodness is uplifting. So in goodness, the affliction of the false ego is still there, but there is at least a path of elevation, but it's not pure unalloyed devotional service, so there's influence of false ego. Then there's false ego that is like outright in ignorance, you know, like violent oppression of other people, or total brutal behavior, or heavy intoxication, or alcohol, or drugs, or whatever. That is in the mode of ignorance, more destructive, it's outright demoniac. Whereas false ego in the mode of goodness is sort of at least giving us a path of purification. I know I shouldn't be attached to all these things, but I am, but, and therefore I also act like emotional about things that I should not be emotional about. But I try to, you know, walk a path of upliftment, so that's false ego in the mode of goodness. Yeah.
Do you have any sort of like any nice ways of, when you have fear and doubt and sort of just good words for us to remind us not to have doubt, to push through and to...
Yeah, well, it's just there are two types of doubts. Yeah? One type of doubt comes from sinful activity and attachment to sinful activity. And the other type of doubt comes from intelligence. Yeah, because we're also investigating something, and we just cannot just accept everything blindly. So there is also a healthy doubt. Third canto of Bhagavatam, Kapila Dev is explaining to his mother these two types of doubt. So I've got it straight from Bhagavatam. And the other doubt, the doubt coming from sinful activities, one senior Vaishnav said that instead of thinking of my doubts, I think about my faults. And when I try to improve my faults, then my doubts go away. Mm. What do you think of that?
I like that.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Yeah.
It's from Trivikram Swami. Trivikram Swami is one of like the early devotees, early disciples of Prabhupada, who were sent from America to London to start something in London. He was older than the rest, so he was one of the first sannyasis. And he's very tall. And he was a navy man. So he's got a bit of that spirit. And he loves kirtan. And when he gets into kirtan, he's like a 15-year-old boy. He jumps up and down like anything. And he's way in his 70s now, but doesn't matter. And he can dance. Like, puts his sneakers on. He goes. He's a hurry now, man. Going strong. Yes.
The voice of the false ego, the mental voice that is always kind of incessantly going off, does that ever go away and subside, or do we just kind of stop paying attention to it as we progress down the path of
Yeah. Just fill your life with service to Krishna. And don't worry so much about this false ego. Just, it's, the false ego is, find space in your consciousness where Krishna is not there. So put more Krishna. Just put more Krishna. Hear more about Krishna. Do more for Krishna. Just put more Krishna. And then it will go. It will not find any space. Where there is no space for it, it cannot be, cannot manifest itself. So that's the trick. More Krishna. It's a long shower.
Service that you mostly engage in your early days.
Just well, I was first. I read the books, and I was hesitant. You know, I liked Prabhupada's books. I liked philosophy. I recognized many points. But I was afraid of the Hare Krishna movement. Just, I was really thinking like, especially in those days, it was kind of very, it was a bit regimented. And I thought like, I wasn't quite sure if I wanted anything to do with that movement. But in due course of time, I did get involved. And yeah, then in the first so many years, it was all about just doing what people asked me to do. And with that, they asked me to do many things I never wanted to do. And one thing was management, you know, because I was good at it. You know. I never had much desire to manage things. But yeah, what can I say? I come from a Dutch business family, and everyone is either a businessman or a manager, a director in some company like Philips and Shell, and yeah. So everyone was a manager. So I learned how managers think, and then I became. And I told my father when I was 17, he wanted me to take over my grandfather's business. And I escaped. I wrote a song, Going Away is a Part of My Life. The life I gotta live. I gotta be the one I am. I've got something to give. and I left home, you know. And my father said, I won't give you a cent. And my mother slipped me a little money. as mothers do. And then I left. And start traveling, and in due course of time, I became involved in the Hare Krishna movement. So I really never wanted anything to do with management. But after a little while, they just gave me management and more management. And before I knew it, I had an office with three secretaries in front, a fax machine, and phones, and everything. I thought, God, if my father would have seen me now, he had already passed on by then. So that was my, like, I think, imagine my father would have seen me. Oh God, he would have laughed. You know? So I guess I couldn't escape my karma. So I did that for a long, long time. Well, a good 20 years, and then escaped from that also. Took sannyas, which is now 16 years. And since the last 16 years, I'm traveling, speaking about Krishna, singing a bit in between, try to avoid management. But yeah, it's about, you also have to make some sort of sacrifice, you know what I mean? You also have to be ready to just say, can I serve, please? And then whatever they ask you do it. And then, of course, maybe later, after you've done that, then you can also develop a service of your own. But you must be in that mood. See, if you never get into that mood from, can I serve, and you just accept something they say, then you become very picky. Well, I'll serve Krishna in this way, and in that way, not in that way. So become very selective. And since we already were like that, then we may carry on a false ego into KC. Not a good idea. Okay, the last, and then I go. Since I have an injury on my leg. Yes.
Tomorrow was commented. Could you use humbleness in your false ego to help balance it?
Yes. Yeah, because humbleness, you know, you can put up a show, right? But even if you put up a show, there are consequences, right? Because when I start to hand out things, right, the people who are pushing forward and who are allowed, they may get it, and the humble one who sort of stands in the back may not get anything. So even if we are not humble, but we act humble, then still it forces us to gradually develop humility. So yes, humility is always a good tool, because false ego is about false pride. Why? Because false ego, it has its roots in us wanting to be master, in competition with God, rather than to be servant. So that tendency to be master in competition with God is our false pride. So even when we externally give that up and externally take on the humble position, I'm not a master, I'm just a servant, and, well, that's purifying. And gradually we come back to our original consciousness that we are the servant.
That's a wrap.
Huh?
That's a wrap.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Thank you. Shri Prabhupada ki.